with the sunshine then. So Scotland bound.
Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
This is Racing Across America, and I am Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate it. And it's Sunday morning. We will take a look at some of the stakes action from yesterday. As usual, nice stakes day at Keeneland, nice stakes day at Oaklawn. We'll do a little handicapping, maybe take a look at some Oaklawn for later on today. And then a little bit later on, we'll be joined by Mike Curry from America's Best Racing. If you check his work out this time of year, concentrating a lot on the three-year-old scene. He does the Who's Hot, Who's Not column every week that kind of looks at the Derby preps and whatnot. And so I'll get his impressions from last weekend via his Who's Hot and Who's Not column from last week. Maybe get a little insight into what's coming up this week, because I wanted to get his thoughts also on yesterday's two final Derby points prep races, the Lexington and the Arkansas Derby, which again kept the roll going of inconsistency along the Derby trail this year, other than essential quality, as there were upsets at both venues, Oaklawn and Keeneland, on the three-year-old scene. The final Derby points list is out. Essential Quality is at the top with 140. At 20 is Sainthood, the horse I thought was best in the Jeff Ruby a couple of weeks ago, but wound up second. Had a little trouble there, the Todd Pletcher runner. Proxy sits at 21. And it seems like after yesterday, they'll elect to bypass the Derby. King Fury, a winner from yesterday, is at 28. We'll see if, you know, Kenny McPeak said, love to go to the Derby, but the subsequent, it said that in the winner's circle, but subsequently, you know, they said, well, do we have enough points? 28 seems like you need enough. There will be some defections, so there will be some horses that are on the outside of that top 20 looking in that will get there, but I don't know whether they're going to get down to 28. I was looking last night because in pool 3 and pool 4, I had used a little all others, had some win money on all others in pool 3 and pool 4, had all others on a exacta box, which at this point, and I used a couple of horses in the field, at this point, I think maybe only Essential Quality is likely as far as the horses in the body that I used. But all others, and my all others win tickets, I was just looking down the leaderboard, and I went down to the top 30, and I had about 18 of the top 30 that will be all others, and I think it was 12 of the top 20 I counted that will be all others going into the starting gate. So and some decent horse. Known Agenda is in all others. I think in both pools, I marked it down. Known Agenda. Yeah, both the third and the fourth pool, I'm going to have Known Agenda as an all others. So I have some decent, you know, they aren't, it's not a reach on the whole group. There are some logicals in there. All right, as stated, oh, first let me alert you that today here at the Clubhouse Racebook, there is a double promotion. So we'd love to have you come on down and take advantage of that. You can have a little fun, play the races, and watch the golf, and take advantage of the promotions as well, the Play the Board and the Match Bet right here at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. All right, let's get to some of the stakes action. Again, great stakes action yesterday at Keeneland and Oaklawn, but there were a couple of nice stakes as well at Aqueduct. We'll start things out with the ladies, the fillies and mares going a mile and an eighth in the top flight. I took a shot with Mrs. Danvers. She'd won the Comley here at Aqueduct and her only start at Aqueduct and won it with a triple-digit buyer last November, then went down to Gulfstream in the Royal Delta and was a real dud. But I thought, man, maybe she just has an affinity for Aqueduct, so I'll go with her. The horse to beat was going to be Horologist. Well, they hit the backstretch and hit the far turn, and Mrs. Danvers is outsetting Fractions 24 and change, 49 and change, 114. Mrs. Danvers is the number three horse here, the white horse, and Horologist is going by. And with those fractions, first I would have thought Mrs. Danvers would have run away from the field as they turned into the stretch. But then Horologist, who was kind of sitting just behind that pace, you would have thought that one would have run away. But no, the four, Lucky Stride, is making up some ground on those tepid fractions. But Horologist does get it done as the short-priced favorite, even money favorite. Mrs. Danvers does hold on for second. But as I say, boy, as I was watching and that 114 comes up, I'm thinking, man, I got this in the bag. She's going to run away and hide for this group. She could not hold off Horologist. Did dig in and hold off by a neck, Lucky Stride, and so she held for second. But again, with those early fractions, I thought I was in a good spot turning from home. But Mrs. Danvers could not make the most of those, as they say, tepid fractions, and winds up second. Horologist, who again was the favorite, Bill Mott trainee, who was coming out of a ninth place finish in the Breeders' Cup Distaff, a little bit overmatched there, but prior to that had won the Beldame at Belmont last October, had a couple of nice workouts coming in, so she was logical. I just thought Mrs. Danvers, given that big performance in the lone try over the Aqueduct Strip, might appreciate the return to Aqueduct. And she did rebound certainly from what we saw down at Gulfstream. But again, with those early fractions, I thought, I'm in the catbird seat, and it didn't turn out that way. All right, let's go to Aqueduct's eighth race yesterday, the Danger's Hour for the four-year-olds and up, going a mile on the turf. I was in the doing the handicapping show yesterday, and I liked Analyze It. Analyze It will wind up running seventh in the field of seven here. And let me just, the winner is going to be number eight, Delaware, coming with a big late run. Number two, Rinaldi, is on the front end. And during the handicapping show yesterday, the more I looked, the more I thought either Rinaldi or Hieronymus with the early speed might sneak away. And as I looked more and more, I said, I had actually had Rinaldi down in the fourth spot. But I said yesterday, you know what, I'm looking up at the odds board, and I think we were getting 5-1. Yeah, 5-1 on Rinaldi. I said, watch out for that one on the front end. As they turned for home, I thought, because at 5-1, I took a little pop myself at Rinaldi. I thought, good call, but could not hold off the oncoming Delaware. That was a big, late run from Delaware. Rinaldi second, Decorated Invader for West Point Thoroughbreds winds up third in there. But again, Delaware closes stoutly to get it done. Had come out of a kind of a poor effort down at Tampa back in February. But Andy had mentioned it on the pregame show. The chart did not make the most of the trouble the horse had. And if you went back and you watched the race, coming around the turn, Delaware really did get stopped. And then as they turned into the stretch, got pushed out a little bit too. So there was far more of a troubled trip than you would have noted by reading the little chart comment in there. So Delaware, a nice performance with the clean trip. And I'm just, excuse me for looking at the computer, but I wanted to pull it up because I saw earlier this morning, just wanted to double check. Dave Grenig tweeted out, Analyze It, as they say, as the 6-5 favorite, winds up last in the field. But Dave Grenig says, have been informed by Equibase that Analyze It, the 6-5 fave who finished last in the Danger's Hour, bled. So they're excused for the favorite running last in there. But Analyze It from Chad Brown last, but he bookends the field with Delaware. A nice performance in the Danger's Hour to come from, as I say, out of the clouds under Manny Franco to get it done yesterday. All right, let's turn the page and head on over to Keeneland. And again, we'll take a look a little bit later on the three-year-old stakes when we have Mike Curry join us. So we'll look at the Lexington and the Arkansas Derby a little bit later with him. But for now, we'll take a look at some of the undercard stakes at the two venues. And in the Ben Ali, I like Night Ops. Night Ops went off as the 4-5 favorite. I had Silver Dust right underneath, though. Brett Calhoun, trainee, had kind of tossed in a clunker in the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, followed that up down at the Fairgrounds in an optional claimer on the turf to start this season. When we had Brian Nadeau on the handicappers report yesterday, he was looking at Keeneland, but of course he spent the winter down at the Fairgrounds. And he said, having talked to Brett Calhoun, that first start of the season for Silver Dust on the turf was just, that's the race. It's going to get some fitness into our horse because the horse is clearly not a turf runner. So it was just a little fitness builder. It worked out. Silver Dust yesterday coming off that turf prep gets it done in the Ben Ali. Gets it done pretty nicely. Gutsy performance. Number three, the favorite, Night Ops, runs second. Beau Luminary runs third. And it was a close finish. I mean, you know, you can see here. With about a furlong to go, they're all in the thick of things, but Silver Dust, number five horse, is just going to hang on. Night Ops is making a nice late run, but the wire comes first. So Silver Dust for Brett Calhoun. Nice afternoon for Brett Calhoun. Gets it done yesterday. Short field of only five, but it was kind of a fun field. Sprawl was on the rail there and led most of the way around. Sprawl at 9-1 as the rank outsider. Brian Addo yesterday on the handicappers report took a little shot with Sprawl, and at the top of the stretch looked pretty good. He was leading for much of the trip, and it's just as that five horse field kind of got there and got close to the wire, they got by him a little bit late. But it was a nice run from Sprawl regardless, because he was right there in the thick of things, certainly for the place in the show spots, and wound up running fourth. But they were all right there. I mean, chart margin, half a neck, a nose, in the Ben Ali yesterday at Keeneland. But it is Silver Dust. As I say, a nice afternoon for Brett Calhoun. Let's move on to the Giants Causeway, sprinting on the turf. And the turf yesterday, if you were watching the afternoon at all, they were getting some rain down there at Keeneland, and so I'm just, yeah, yielding. By the time we got to this race, it was labeled yielding. And I had Intimistic on top, as did a lot of people. Intimistic went off as the even money favorite, the number one horse. Change of control, though, the number eight horse makes a nice bold run to go by Intimistic late. Again, this will be the number eight horse getting it done. Jakarta, the number 10, runs third. And you can see Intimistic looks pretty good, but you can see the momentum. You know Change of Control has the momentum to go on by and does. Chart margin winds up to be a length. 8-1 for the Michelle Lovell trainee under Colby Hernandez getting it done. Intimistic holds on for clear-cut second in there. And as I say, Jakarta runs third, but nice performance in the turf sprint for that one. Came out of an off-the-turf race down at the Fairgrounds last time and ran a close-up second in there, but down the page are turf sprints. I say turf sprinting is kind of a specialty, and this horse is a stakes-quality turf sprinter, but to add a nice Keeneland stakes race to the resume certainly was impressive yesterday for Change of Control at a little bit of a price. We'll look at the Lexington a little bit later on, but let's wrap up our Keeneland stakes looks with the Jenny Wiley Grade 1 event on the card yesterday on the grass for the ladies. I had Juliet Foxtrot on top. Brian Addo on the handicapper support yesterday, as he looked at Keeneland, was firmly in the camp of Julie Foxtrot. Julie Foxtrot went off at 8-5. I think both of us, both Brian and I, like Tama here in the second spot. And that's the way it winds up. Julie Foxtrot over Tama here. It is Brad Cox over Chad Brown. Julie Foxtrot coming out of a close-up third in the Matriarch to end the season last year. And Juliet Foxtrot had run third in this Jenny Wiley last year. But you can see out there on the front end, kind of holding them safe. The eventual chart margin will be a couple of lengths. If you had Juliet Foxtrot, you weren't sweating. Tam here completes the exacta as the second choice in there. You wound up 20 bucks and change for the exacta with the two logicals. Tyler Gaffleone on board, but again, had run a close-up third in this race behind Rushing Fall last year, had won a, run a close-up third in the Matriarch to wind up the season last year. Seasonal debut, nice win, Judmont, Brad Cox, Juliet Foxtrot at Keeneland in the Jenny Wiley. Puts a grade one, or maybe another grade one on the resume. I'm just looking. Now, that was the first grade one win. A grade one placed prior, but first grade one win for Juliet Foxtrot. But a nice runner, as I say, for Brad Cox and Judmont. Tyler Gaffleone on board. All right, let's go over to Oaklawn. Take a look at some of their stakes action. The Carousel yesterday featured Frank's Rocket. Frank's Rocket went off as the even money favorite. But if you were listening and watching Racing Across America yesterday, Rick Hammerly talked a little bit about Edgeway. He said he had talked to John Sadler, and John Sadler said, yeah, I'm sending the filly. And Hammerly said, if you look down the PPs, this is a fairly lightly raced four-year-old that debuted here at Oaklawn last year. And Hammerly said, the racing director down at Oaklawn said, you know what, that win last year by Edgeway was the most impressive maiden win I saw at the meet. Subsequently, the horse had put a couple more wins on the resume, a second and a third, had shown some promise, stakes placed, debuted out at Santa Anita with a very good effort, a career best buyer, career best tying buyer, tying that debut effort. So then John Sadler elects to, hey, let me take a shot for $250,000 at Oaklawn. So Frank's Rocket was coming out of a win in a stake here at Oaklawn back in January in the American Beauty, owned by Frank Fletcher, who locally based, so he wanted to see his horse run at Oaklawn, and they show up for the $250,000 as well. They were the two interesting horses, and they were the two horses down the stretch as Edgeway takes the lead, the number five horse, Joel Rosario, on board and holds off Frank's Rocket. You can see Frank's Rocket, whole stretch, I kind of felt like, oh, going to go by, going to get the moment, going to go. And then Edgeway just would not give up. This is going to be a nice stakes filly for John Sadler and company. Edgeway, Frank's Rocket, already a very nice stakes filly. Frank's Rocket with now well over $700,000 in the bank. But Edgeway being more lightly raced is, as I say, on her way to a nice career sprinting in that older filly and mare division. And we'll see if at some point they stretch her out. I mean, she seems like a sprinter, but they've only tried. I mean, that was only the sixth career start, fourth career win. We'll see what they do with Edgeway, but certainly a very nice filly and mare sprint type. And you would think that would be where they would elect to stay. But being lightly raced, maybe a try two turns at some point. But a nice performance yesterday by Edgeway in the Carousel. A little bit later on in the card at Oaklawn was the Oaklawn Mile. And I mentioned the earlier win by Brett Calhoun in a stakes race started or was part of a good day for Brett Calhoun, and it continued in the Oaklawn Mile. I like by my standards. Had a really nice season last year. Part of that season last year was a really nice win in the Oaklawn Handicap, so had shown an affinity for the racetrack. Season ended with a couple disappointments. Disappointed in the Breeders' Cup Classic, disappointed in the Clark. But other than that, boy, it was just a really solid season. I thought by my standards stood a shot of kind of bouncing back and getting to where he was, you know, the middle of last year and having done so well at Oaklawn prior, and that's the way it works out. Now, the horse, surprisingly, I thought by my standards might be the favorite, but Rushy wound up to be the 9-5 favorite. Rushy's the number four, by my standards, the number six. Rushy, you can see, is leading here. Betting public went with Rushy, but by my standards, keeps grinding. Chart margin, nose, as you can see there. I think that's the race that Vic Stauffer said that might be a dead heat. There were a couple of close finishes yesterday, and I think that's the one. And on the bobs, it kind of looked like it. Brett Calhoun in the winner's circle after the race said, you know, live, I thought I had it. And then when I looked at the replays, I thought I didn't have it. But it turns out, by my standards, does get it done. Chart margin and nose. Rushy second. Wells Bayou, who left. I had, by my standards, in Rushy 1-2. Wells Bayou, who ran third, I did not have in the mix, but as I was handicapping the race yesterday, I said he was a horse I didn't quite know what to do with, because he was another horse that had shown some promise earlier in the career, and then things wound up not working out so well. Subsequently, you know, ran fifth in the Arkansas Derby, and then laid off until the Louisiana at Fairgrounds in January. That was a long layoff, seasonal debut, four-year-old debut, first time against older, and at 2-1 had run kind of an uninspiring third there. But this was a horse that had shown some promise, so I wasn't sure what to do with Wells Bayou. I'm not sure next time I'll be any more sure what to do with him off the third-place finish, but at least he's got a couple under the belt now, and he may be worth taking a look at next time. Be interesting to see where they go with Wells Bayou. But certainly, by my standards, now back on track for another good year this year, and Rushy looked pretty good as well. So nice performance there in the Oaklawn Mile. And we will finally, again, a little bit later on, we'll take a look at the Arkansas Derby, but we'll wrap up our look at the Oaklawn Stakes, taking a look at the Count Fleet. And this was a race to look forward to, because it's another showdown between Whitmore and CZ Rocket. Two races back at the Breeders' Cup at Keeneland in the Breeders' Cup Sprint. Whitmore had finished first, CZ Rocket had finished second. They both came back in their seasonal debut in the Hot Springs, middle of March. Whitmore runs second, CZ Rocket wins. So they're showing down again yesterday in the Count Fleet at Oaklawn, and nice performance by CZ Rocket. Whitmore second again, CZ Rocket wins. Betting public says I'm going to take Whitmore. That one goes off a little over even money. CZ Rocket at 2-1. CZ Rocket, the number six, as you can see, has the momentum. Number two, Whitmore, does get second. Number five, Empire Gold, third. Strike Power, number four, fourth. But a nice win there for CZ Rocket. 7 years old, over $1 million in the bank before yesterday's performance. That was $500,000 in the purse yesterday, so added a nice chunk of change. 11 wins and 25 starts for CZ Rocket. Whitmore, 8 years old. He has 15 wins and 40 career starts. He came in with over $4 million. So it's pretty nice. The 8-year-old runs second, 7-year-old wins, and they keep kind of that rivalry going. We will see how the year plays out with some of the sprint stakes going forward, and where we'll see these two and if we'll see them show up knocking heads or if they will take different paths. But it was a nice afternoon yesterday at Oaklawn to see a couple of veterans like that face off and then live up to the billing. That's always the important part, too. When you anticipate these races, we have two or three horses who are really going to, and then it gets to the stretch, it gets to the last furlong, and it plays out that way. Now, it wasn't a margin. It wasn't necessarily a head bob, but it was still, they were 1-2, so that was nice to see yesterday down at Oaklawn. All right, we will take a break. Again, a little bit later on, Mike Curry will join us from America's Best Racing. He writes about the three-year-old scene this time of year, so we'll get some of his thoughts on yesterday's action, and also go back and look at last week as well and how all of this will play into the Derby coming up in a few weeks. Before that, though, after the break, we'll come back, do a little handicapping for this Sunday afternoon. As Racing Across America continues, stay tuned.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the capital region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
The Capital Region has some of the most sophisticated horse racing fans in the country. That's why Capital OTB built the Clubhouse Racebook. Here you can wager year-round on the best horse racing from around the world. The Clubhouse also has monthly promotions including live bankrolls, handicapping contests, and so much more. Like sports? Watch your favorite teams on more than 30 screens in Legends Field Sports Grill. Food, sports, and the excitement of championship horse racing only at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. Again, don't forget, you can come down for the double promotion this afternoon, watch a little racing, watch a little golf, maybe get a little luck in the double promotion as well. So we'd love to see you down here. Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. All right, I'm going to take a little look at the late pick four at Oaklawn for this Sunday afternoon. I've said it many times. I love Oaklawn. I think there's some value to be had there day in and day out. We'll see if we can give some ideas for Sunday afternoon. Start things out with the late pick four with one of the races I laugh about when I'm in here in the afternoon and have some fun with. State-bred B-condition claimers. The state-bred maidens races down, you know, the Arkansas-bred races. And the Arkansas-bred races of any category. They're tough. They're puzzles. And, you know, you can play around a little bit. And I have a couple of prices in here. And I'm not guaranteed that I have the winner because, as I say, they can be puzzles that are solved by something completely out of the ordinary. But I went 1A, 7, 6, and 9. And then I put the plain one underneath. So I split up the one entry. I have them kind of bookending here. 1A, 7, 6, and 9 with the plain one underneath. But I put Hunani Road on top. A couple of starts at the meet already. It's Robertina Diodoro. The two starts at the meet weren't much finishing position-wise, but number-wise, they match up nicely with this group. Two starts back, open claimers. Last time, state-bred optional claimers. Now drops in for the state-bred conditional tag. I think this is going to be some class relief that will be beneficial. Robertina Diodoro having a great meet. So this may be an Arkansas-bred race that plays out a little bit according to plan. We'll see. A lot of times I look and think that's going to happen, and it doesn't. But we'll see what plays out with Hunani Road. That seems like a logical direction to go. Sir Brahms is actually the favorite on the morning line by just a tick. 5-2 for Sir Brahms, Hunani Road entry, 3-1. I wouldn't be surprised if the Diodoro horse takes more action, though. But we are, again, getting some class relief for Sir Brahms that will be notable. Another trainer who's having a very good meet. This horse stepping out of state-bred allowance company into the state-bred claiming ranks. So, again, with that class relief, it'll be interesting to see where the betting public goes. But again, I just think Diodoro is having such a good meet. Folks may tilt in that direction. But Sir Brahm certainly has some things to like and becomes illogical in here. He is fancy in the third spot. Tends to, at least in the past couple of starts, be far back early. And that, you know, you're always up against it. But one of the tracks where probably it pays off may be Oaklawn. I tell you, Oaklawn, I always feel far turn is they get about halfway on the far turn. If I'm sitting fourth or fifth with a little momentum, I'm always pointing that's the horse that's going to win. And it happens pretty often. So if you can be a horse that comes from behind but make a move to be kind of in play on the turn, you may be in a good spot. But again, he is fancy with that come from the cloud style, at least lately. Might be up a little bit against it, but I think it's going to fit all right in here. Young Bull down in the bottom spot off a nice win against maybe a little bit better last time. The price was better. The condition was different. So maybe a lateral move overall, but it was a nice win that says that one probably has to be paid attention to as well. So the 7th at Oaklawn, I have it 1A, 7, 6, and 9. If the 1A goes out, then I'd pull a plain one at the bottom of the mix. In the 8th race at Oaklawn, it's an optional claimer with a money condition. I have a 2, 3, 4, and 7. I'll put Fouillette on top. Tends to show a lot of early speed. First two starts of the career were up at Saratoga. First start, the speed was okay, held on for a close-up third. Second start, the speed was still okay, early, but going 7 furlongs, not just got caught, but got caught and well beaten. Had some trouble that day, though. Laid off after that September start at the end of the Saratoga meet. Didn't come back until Oaklawn on March 13th for Steve Asmussen. And as I say, a lot of times, these two-year-olds, lightly raced three-year-olds, if they get a break like that, they can come back better, a little more maturity and a little bit better. Well, that seems to be the case for Fouillette, who came back, won nicely in the third career start. The buyer number went up 20 points. So I think this one just proving to be an improved three-year-old for Steve Asmussen, living up to that Nyquist breeding. I'll keep that one on top. Founders Day goes out for Brad Cox off a career debut victory. Kind of interesting. They debuted and won a maiden special weight event. Now they come back in an optional claimer. They elect to go in for the tag, so they're in for $75,000. Buyer number maybe in the debut was a little light as compared to the buyer of the top pick. But again, it was the first career start. That's always notable. By constitution, I just find it interesting that they're electing to float this one out. You know, again, $75,000, they're not giving the horse away. But it's notable that they put the horse up for sale like that. And then Novel Squall in the third spot. Another one that's a little bit intriguing dropping in for the tag today in that they've had some ambitions with this one. 5 starts, 3 of those were stakes races, including the Martha Washington here. Well beaten in the past 2 starts, which were stakes races here at Oaklawn and at Keeneland last November. So certainly deserves some class relief. But again, interesting that they elect to go for the tag. But on the class relief, I did have to throw that one in the mix. In the 8th at Oaklawn, 2, 3, 4, and 7. Oaklawn's 9th on Sunday afternoon. Again, it's an optional claimer. This one with a calendar condition. 5, 2, 6, and 7 for me in the 9th at Oaklawn. Harper's first ride. Stepping out of stakes company for Robertina Diodoro. Was in the Essex last time, ran an okay 4th in there, had the lead for a little bit early before fading. But again, it's Diodoro getting the class relief, stepping out of the stakes company. And this is a horse that, 3 starts back, won the Native Dancer up at Laurel. So this is a horse that, and right before that, won a stakes race up at Laurel. So this is a horse that, within the last 4 starts, has won 2 stakes. Now drops in for the condition. So I'll put Harper's first ride on top. Lone Rock in the 2nd spot, just in very good form. Also, this one coming out of a stakes race right here at Oaklawn, ran a close-up 2nd. It was in the Quirky Temperance Hill, though. Quirky because it was 1.5 miles, but ran well at 1 1/16, won a optional claim or 2 back. So Lone Rock deserves consideration. Carlos L. actually won that Temperance Hill last time. And so this one also a player in here. Fun race. Campaign, who I as I was handicapping this race the other night, I was looking. Campaign, I'm pretty sure, has local connections. So I'm going to root for that 6-year-old to be in the mix because you always like to root for the locals. And so Campaign had that one down at the bottom of the mix. But I think this one stepping out of stakes company could be interesting in here as well. The Oaklawn 9th. 5, 2, 6, and 7. And finally, race number 10 at Oaklawn on Sunday afternoon. 13, 11, 5, and 2. The 13 is the first on the AE. If that one doesn't get in, I'll pull the 1 in. But Rachy Ratch. Let's see what Vic Stauffer does with that one. Drops into State Bred Claiming Company. And again, this is another Arkansas race. An Arkansas bred race, Arkansas bred maiden claimers. But this one has been facing some maiden special company and has been right up in the hunt before fading in the last couple, was in the mix before that. boy, in these kind of races, you're just looking for a little bit of something. And I think there's enough little bit of something here that if scratches do allow the 13 to get in, that becomes a serious player. Kovacher in the second spot. First start, second start were pretty good. The last start, not so much. Did have a little trouble there, though, and it does look like an aberration. Starts one and two of the career are good enough, and I think that's probably more what we'll get to today. Wish for Candy in the third spot. Nice second place finish against fairly similar last time. Good second against maybe a little bit better. Two starts back, so seems like a player as well. But as I say, just when you think you have this kind of a race sussed out, these Arkansas-bred races, somebody kooky gets up and wins. So I wouldn't argue with anybody kind of looking around and playing in that finale today at Oaklawn. But for me, 13, 11, 5, and 2, with the 1 being an alternative if the 13 doesn't get in. All right, there's a little handicapping for this afternoon. We'll be doing it live when we fire up in an hour and a half or so for OTB Live for a Sunday afternoon, but that gives you a head start. We will give you a head start on some Derby thoughts right after this, as we'll be joined by Mike Curry from America's Best Racing, talk some three-year-old action. We'll do a little recap on what happened last week and how that plays into the Derby scene and get some thoughts on what happened yesterday in the Lexington and the Arkansas Derby. All of that right after this. Stay tuned. Want to take advantage of everything Capital OTB has to offer? Become a Capital Bets account holder today. It's quick and easy. And now for the month of April, it's our new member sign-up bonus. Simply make a minimum deposit of $200, bet $400, and receive a $200 cash bonus deposited directly into your new account. That's $200 free money from Capital OTB. So sign up today and win more with Capital OTB.
Welcome to Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play. With easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport, it's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement. From world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
Stone is an outside front. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Birdstone. Birdstone surges past. Birdstone wins the Belmont Stakes.
In front, but here comes High Chaparral. High Chaparral, the defending champ, to take it to Bob Bob. These two are travels head to head with Joe Hart bearing down on them. It's going to be a three-horse photo finish in the turn. Here's the wire. Photo finish.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. Happy to be joined now by Mike Curry from America's Best Racing. As I said at the top of the show, if you're reading Mike's work this time of year, a lot of it focused on the three-year-old scene, who's hot and who's not every week, and some other articles as well looking at some of the contenders. So I thought we'd talk what happened yesterday. We'll go back and look at last week, kind of in prep of the Derby just a few weeks away. The leaderboard, the points leaderboard is now set, so a great time for this conversation. Mike, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Happy to have you on. And let's talk a little bit. Let's kick things off yesterday and the Arkansas Derby and get some of your thoughts coming out of that one. I think everybody was looking at Concert Tour, and given what we've seen so far and some inconsistency on the Derby trail, he was going to potentially add his name to the consistency that Essential Quality has shown as compared to the rest of the Derby trail. But it turned out that he stamped himself as another one that just couldn't quite validate what we'd seen so far. Concert Tours, we watched the stretch run. Number five horse here winds up third. Caddo River rebounds off the poor performance last time in the Rebel and runs second. But Superstock, number one for Steve Asmussen, gets it done here. Not only Steve Asmussen trainer, but the Asmussen family as well, pretty happy in the winner's circle. But Superstock, at a generous 12-1, does it pretty easily. Chart margin 2.5. Caddo River, as I say, holds on for second by a head. Concert Tour, a little bit disappointing, running third, getter number fourth. What was your takeaway yesterday from the Arkansas Derby?
Yeah, I think my big takeaway, just kind of a shocking underperformance of all about Bob Baffert's forces over the last couple of weeks. And then with the defection of Life is Good, it makes for a much more interesting Kentucky Derby. I think definitely elevates essential quality. As you mentioned, he's been the most consistent so far. And I think at this point has proven himself at least a small cut above the rest. As for Superstock, I mean, huge improvement in his second start off the layoff. He did run some decent races at two, but probably nothing like this. Like you, I like the way he finished. I kind of like to see the horse that identifies a target and just goes after them. And I thought he finished up really well. Like you, disappointed in Concert Tour. I was a little worried earlier in the day because it definitely felt like speed wasn't holding at Oaklawn, but I didn't think he would lose. You know, I guess that on the other hand, if you liked Concert Tour going in and thought maybe it was a mistake to rate him, perhaps his Derby odds now will be, I don't know, maybe 5 or even 10 times more than they would have been had he won.
Yeah, and that's a great point because I think the Brad Cox team said, you know, we're not going to let him get out. We kind of, the strategy from the Rebel, we're not going to play it. We're going to get out there. And that was the game plan. Cattle River went out. And so Concert Tour, rather than go out and really duke it out, Concert Tour kind of sat back. And Vic Stauffer was kind of anticipating. He had the talent. You could tell Vic Stauffer was waiting for him to go on the turn and go on by. And once they locked up, they got in that duel, but that set it up, and Superstock then made the late run. But as you say, that may elevate his price, and maybe we get a different kind of a strategy in the Derby.
Yeah, and it was an improved effort from Caddo River. I think I've never really thought that he was a true mile-and-a-quarter horse. And this race didn't convince me otherwise. I think I would look for a better race from Concert Tour. And I'd be surprised if they don't just send him and see if he, you know, see if he can run them off their feet. The other Baffert, Hosier, didn't run a step. I'm not sure what happened there, but you know, it was a superb hand that Baffert had just a couple weeks ago. And now it looks a little more like pocket eights, you know?
Yeah. And we have seen a turn of fortunes versus him and Todd Pletcher. We'll talk about Pletcher a little bit later on, cause we'll look back at last week's Wood. But, yeah, that things have turned 180 for those two guys, certainly, in just the last couple of weeks, as you say. Let's go over and take a look and get some thoughts on the Lexington yesterday. There was some potential as far as Derby points. There were three horses in there that, with the, you know, limited 20 points, was still going to make a difference. Proxy was one of those, but now I think Proxy on the way to some other location other than, you would have to think, Louisville. Proxy, and I put Proxy on top. I just kind of felt like, you know what, I think he may have the class in this field. I was very surprised. I put Proxy on top, and I thought Swift Sure was interesting from Steve Asmussen. So I had that one right underneath. But as I say, I was shocked. The betting public made Swift Sure the 2-1 favorite. Also a 2-1 was Proxy, but on the odds themselves, Swiftsure wound up to be the favorite. Swiftsure winds up running seventh in the field of nine. Proxy winds up running fifth. But King Fury, looking pretty good for Kenny McPeak, gets it done in here. King Fury is going to be the number nine horse. I said when I handicapped over the past couple of days, don't ignore Unbridled Honor, the number five at a price. Went off at 20-1, but it was Todd Pletcher. And after what he's done the past couple of weeks, I used him, and he runs second. Running third was Starring in My Dreams, the number 10. And as I say, number 7, Proxy, runs fourth in here. But what do you make of this? What I make of it is it just continues kind of the topsy-turvy Derby trail over the past month or so. And with the 20 points on the points list I mentioned this morning, King Fury is now sitting at 28. It seems like this is a race that probably plays more into the Preakness.
That's kind of how I viewed it too. The winner was impressive. Definitely, you know, a breakout race off a 4-month layoff, but I think it would be tough for him to follow up in just 3 weeks anyway.
Yeah.
My thought is that maybe it might end up being a blessing in disguise that he ends up in the Preakness, because it does look like he'll need at least 6 or 7 to defect from the Derby to get in. Although it sure sounded like Kenny McPeak was eager to go if he had the opportunity. disappointing effort from Proxy for sure. I guess, you know, was it the sloppy track or is he just not good enough? Maybe some sort of combination of the two of them. I certainly, you know, I don't know where he ends up next. It looks like he's close on points, but if he were to go to the Derby, he'd probably be a toss for me. I'm surprised you didn't mention the biggest shock of the race was that Bezos opened at 7-2. You could have bowled me over when I saw that. I wouldn't have bet him with your money in that race.
And he winds up 7-1 and winds up ninth in the field. I put him at the bottom of my mix yesterday just because it's Baffert. He had a bullet workout. But I said on the handicapping show yesterday, I wasn't like enamored with them. The two that were more interesting to me were Swiftsure and Unbridled Honor. And as the odds played out, it became more Unbridled Honor. But boy, has there ever been a weirder horse than Bezos as far as the betting public? He shows up on that Derby pool before he's even run and takes some action there. Then in the career debut, goes off at 3-5 and winds up seventh. And he did win in the second start, but it was not impressive. And so now with this third performance and another kind of dud, I'm going to be interested to see what the career arc now is of Bezos.
Yeah, me too. Getting back to King Fury a little bit, you know, even though he may not get into the Derby, I do think that, like, you have to look at him as a horse that in the second half of the year could be extremely interesting. I mean, that was an impressive win. You know, look at the pedigree a little bit by Curlin out of Terrace, who's a grade one winner. And she was a graded stakes winner at a mile and a 16th and grade one placed at a mile and an eighth. You know, you wonder if the breakout came on a sloppy track and that might have been part of it. But the speed figure seemed to just to tell me that this was at least legitimate. And I don't know. I think he's a really interesting horse the rest of the way. And one that completely slipped past me. I was not on King Fury before the race at all. You know, I some of the horses that you mentioned I liked better. I thought Proxy would run well. But I do think King Fury is one that for the second half of the year, potentially for the Preakness, he's definitely an interesting horse.
Yeah, I said yesterday as I was watching the race and it unfolded and after the race, you know, if you were somebody and you looked up at the board and saw 18-1 and then looked back and you were kind of looking, shopping around, this is a horse that had some talent last year as a two-year-old for Kenny McPeak. I was just a little put away by the two races at Keeneland last year were probably his two worst races, but they were also behind Essential Quality, the Breeders' Futurity and the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. So maybe, you know, you draw a line through those on that. And Kenny McPeak was interesting. He said after the race that the folks at Three Chimneys said, you know, we got ambitious. Let's give the horse a little time. They did. And he said, you know, God bless him for making me do that because it seemed to pay off. So you may be right. He could be a very interesting three-year-old as things play out here. Again, it's going to be tough to get into the Derby waiting for those defections. But you're right. After the race, it's clear Kenny McPeak, if the opportunity comes, he's going. But oh, yeah. He said, Derby or Preakness, whichever, we're going to one or the other.
Yeah, I think the Preakness would be the better spot for him. You know, like I said, the 3 weeks rest and going into the Derby would be a little much. Especially coming back off that long layoff. And then you give him the extra 2 weeks and maybe he comes in and fires on as a fresher three-year-old.
All right, let's move to last week because, as I say, you have the I was going to say the who's hot and who's not column. So I was going to go back to last week's and we will. But give us a little hint. So who's hot and who's not, who's going to be coming up this week? I'm assuming King Fury gets a who's hot, but with the, you know, the caution that it's not necessarily who's hot for the Derby.
Yeah, I mean, I think for sure King Fury will have to be on the list because at least looking forward to the Triple Crown. Like I said, I'm pretty high on him for the rest of the season. But I think I probably will put Superstock on top. And obviously Concert Tour would be the one for me who takes a pretty significant hit in cooling down. And I think Proxy would fall into that category as well.
Yeah, very good. All right, let's go back. As I say, last week's who's hot, who's not. Top of your who's hot list was the winner of the Santa Anita Derby. You also wrote a separate article about him. And I'd love to get your take because the more I was thinking last night, the more I thought, We're going to watch the stretch run to the Santa Anita Derby here. The favorite at 4-5 was Baffert's Medina Spirit. That one, the number 7, will run second. The winner is Rock Your World, the number 3 horse here. Wins it pretty easily. Gets a triple-digit buyer of 100. This is a horse, the first two starts of the career were on the turf. Third start of the career takes the Santa Anita Derby and does it, as I say, in pretty easy fashion at 4-plus lengths with a 100 buyer. And last night, as I was thinking, given how topsy-turvy the Derby trail has been over the past 4 to 6 weeks, except for essential quality, I wonder if people aren't going to say, you know what, these races are all being won by upsetters. I'm going to look out of the box. And I wonder if the wise guy horse won't wind up being Rock Your World.
Yeah, I think there's a chance and there's good reason for it. I mean, you know, I think the only concern I really have is a bigger field and getting some kickback. You know, that getting the dirt kicked in your face in a 20 horse field is something that I don't think you can, if you haven't experienced, if the horse hasn't experienced it, you just never know how they're going to react to that. But otherwise, I mean, there really isn't much not to like about him. You know, there's the allure of the unbeaten 3-year-old. He pretty clearly has elite talent. I mean, it takes an elite talent to be a stakes winner on turf and dirt to begin with. There's some room for improvement with only 3 starts. From a tactical perspective, he's got speed. You know, he can put himself in a good position. I love John Sadler as a trainer. I think he's a terrific trainer. And as far as pedigree goes, I mean, I think this is one of the few that's actually a legitimate mile and a quarter horse. So it wouldn't be a surprise to me. I really like him. Like you, I think he could wind up being a buzz horse.
Yeah, and Sadler kind of indicated, we see it up at Saratoga a lot, right up in our neck of the woods, with 2-year-olds. A lot of times there'll be 2-year-old turf races, and subsequently the 2-year-olds wind up on the dirt, and the trainers say, you know, I started at Saratoga because I wanted a little distance and I could only get it on the turf. Sadler was saying, I just find the turf a little bit easier, so I started his career there. It's not so much they thought he's a bona fide turf horse and we're not going to try dirt. I think it seems like Sadler knew he had something special. He just found the dirt maybe an easier path to get the career started.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, you know, I hate to throw out names like this, but you look at the 2-year-olds who ran well on turf and then translated to dirt. You see horses like Barbaro, one of my all-time favorites. And I would never put Rock Your World in that category. But, you know, it's impressive when you see a horse that can run like he did on the grass and then you pop him onto the dirt. And I mean, it's kind of a mind-blowing win from him. And I think he's legitimate, you know, and as far as essential quality goes, I don't know if he's as good as he is, but if essential quality takes just a small step back, I think Rock Your World's one of those will be right there in a position to capitalize.
And I say it all the time. I think bettors these days pay so much attention to the buyer figures, as do I. That's a tool in my toolbox, but they pay so much attention. That triple-digit buyer is going to jump off the page on Derby Day. I'm very intrigued to see what he goes off at because I think he will be the wise guy horse, but I think by the time we get to post time, he's not going to be a wise guy price. I think a lot of people are going to jump on board. Let's get some thoughts on the Wood Memorial. Again, who's hot this past week? Bourbonic made the who's hot list off the win. At 72-1, Bourbonic in the stretch run here is going to be the number 3. Dynamic One completing the Todd Pletcher Exacta, the number 5 horse. Crowded Trade for Chad Brown runs third. Weyburn fourth. On your who's not list, Prevalence wound up running 6th in here. Risk Taking is the favorite, winds up 7th, also a who's not horse. And that may have been the most notable part of this race. I mean, the Pletcher Exacta was kind of fun. You wind up with Todd Pletcher over Todd Pletcher and a $900 Exacta. But notable here was the horses who put in kind of clunker performances, which, as I've alluded to already, seems to have been kind of the way the Derby trail has played out over the last month, month and a half, with horses just not validating earlier good performances.
Yeah, I guess I looked at the Wood, and I don't think that we saw a Derby winner and probably not even a top 3 Derby horse from that race. I mean, the Bourbonic's a great story, and, you know, I guess he does. I said in the 3 heating up, 3 cooling down, that he's got kind of a puncher's chance as a closer, where if you get just a crazy pace up front, perhaps he can close into it and either get a piece or maybe, you know, I guess if he won it would shock the world again. But I guess I don't think he's fast enough. It's the simple way to say it. I just don't think he's fast enough. And, you know, we'll see. But I do think the runner up in that race is a little bit interesting, just given the pedigree. So I mentioned in the honorable mention section that it's the nice Phipps family that's got Storm Flag Flying as the second dam, My Flag and Personal Ensign as the third and fourth dam. So he's interesting. I don't think he's fast enough either, but, you know, from a pedigree perspective, something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, he was making a little late run. And as you say, that Phipps breeding bred by the Phipps stable, dynamic one for Pletcher and Rapoli. Again, poor performance. Brooklyn Strong, who I liked last year coming out of the win in the Remsen, always got a route for the New York Breds. But boy, he winds up running fifth. And it was just tough for me to make a case for him because, you know, had some setbacks. And you make your three-year-old debut in the Wood Memorial. I mean, that he ran fifth to me wasn't that surprising. But he, I think, has maybe a nice future. And certainly, being a New York bred, he can go the New York bred route if they choose to. But I think he's going to be nice in open company as well. The scenario just didn't play out for him. You know, the dates hit you. You have to hit the dates if you're looking to get to the Derby. And he was just behind the eight ball.
Yeah, I agree. You know, and I at both Weyburn and Brooklyn Strong, I didn't, you know, they were disappointing, but not as disappointing as Risk Taking to me. I mean, he just, I don't know what happened, but that was the real shocker for me coming out of that race.
And Candyman Rocket is a complete head scratcher because I liked him in that Sam Davis. That was a good performance off of that. I liked him in the Tampa Bay Derby. He clunked in the Tampa Bay Derby, running 11th of 12. And in the Wood Memorial, he runs 9th of 9. And again, you go a couple races back, the Sam Davis was a pretty good-looking effort. Not that that necessarily indicated he was going to be a superstar for the rest of the year, but it was hard to see him finishing 11th of 12 and 9th of 9 off of that race a couple starts back.
Yeah, I mean, I thought for sure coming out of the Sam F. Davis that he would finish in the top three in the Tampa Bay Derby, and he didn't run at all. And again, followed that up with another clunker in the woods. So yeah, I don't know. Like you, I came out of that race. I was pretty high on him. You know, I thought he had a chance to be at least a decent three-year-old this year, and then kind of inexplicable what's happened since then.
Yeah, inexplicable, a good word there. The two funny performances from that one, and overall, I guess that may be the takeaway from the Wood. It was a strange race, and we'll see. I should note Bourbonic, an 89 buyer coming out of that, so we'll see how that plays out. Finally, the Bluegrass, where there was some semblance of consistency. It was a ding-dong battle. I think a lot of people may wonder, gee, is this going to take something out of these two horses? I think there's enough time for these two to recover and be fine, but essential quality and highly motivated. Number four and number three, ding-dong it down the stretch with essential quality, the two-year-old champion staying undefeated, going 5-for-5 in the career, just getting up late by a neck. And it's a 1-2 favorite, but highly motivated, I think, impressed a lot of people as well. Your takeaway from the Bluegrass?
Yeah, like you, I think he'll come out of that. I actually think it'll be good for him to have a little bit of a test before the Derby. You know, you need a little bit of foundation for these races and you know, 20-horse field and a mile and a quarter. I think it's going to help him. You know, he's obviously been the most consistent three-year-old, the talent's there. I came away from it thinking that this was almost an ideal prep for him. You know, he had a little bit of a challenge and overcame it. And I think he earned a new career best, was Equibase buyer and Brisnet speed figures. So yeah, I mean, I'm there's really not much to knock him for coming out of that race and coming his entire resume going into the Derby. You know, I guess really a lot of the way you look at this Derby is, do you think essential quality is a slam dunk or not? And, you know, if you're betting against him, you've got a lot of options and a lot of different ways you can go. And for essential quality, it just comes down to what do you think is fair value? You know, I don't think you're going to get 9-2 or 5-1, probably less than that. So you just kind of have to figure out where the value is. If you think he's, you know, kind of a can't miss type, who you put with him, or just what type of odds do you need to make a win bet on?
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting how the Derby odds shake out and whatnot, because again, it's been a season where things have not been consistent. The betting public's going to be aware of that. An essential quality is the consistent runner. But I don't think you look at the page, and I don't know whether it's necessarily flashy. He hasn't hit that triple-digit buyer mark yet, 97 buyer in the bluegrass. And so I wonder how confident people will be. I think he's the favorite. There's no question about it because of that consistency. But again, Rock Your World, I'll be interested to see what that one goes off at. And again, I wonder if people will play around a little bit, as you say, and look for some opportunities, because I think there will be some opportunities out there. And I'm just going to be fascinated to see also what essential quality can do. Will the consistency be enough to propel him to the winner's circle at Churchill?
Just out of curiosity, what type of odds do you think we would be looking at for essential quality? Because, I mean, you know, if he drifts up a little bit, and like you said, if the page doesn't look flashy to bettors, I'd be a lot more interested. I just, you know, it would be tough for me to take 3-1 or 7-2 on him. But I don't know. What do you think he winds up at?
I will readily admit I'm bad at the Derby because of the 20-horse field. And I think we're also plugged into day in and day out 8 to 12 horses or whatnot. We can predict that. And I've gotten better in recent years in realizing that you can't look at the favorite and think the same in a 20-horse field. So as you were talking, I'm thinking 3-1 or 7-2 is probably legit on him.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was thinking too. Then if he drifts up, I'd be a little bit more interested. But the other one, I do think Known Agenda is going to take some money.
Yeah, you're right.
There's a chance that he might end up being a buzz horse. He's kind of, he's taken off since they added the blinkers. I don't think distance is a question. He's got some flashy numbers too. So we'll see. I think he could end up being a little bit of a if Rock Your World's not the buzz horse, I think he'll be.
Yeah, you're right. I'm glad you mentioned him. He's one that I also think, yeah, I'm with you. He's very playable. I liked his last race as well. So we'll see. It's going to be interesting in a few weeks. But we will keep up with the pace by checking out America's Best Racing and Mike Curry's columns, Who's Hot, Who's Not, and Beyond. Mike, as always, appreciate the conversation and the thoughts, and we'll talk again.
Sounds great. Thanks so much for having me on. It was fun.
Appreciate it. Mike Curry, again, you can check out his work at America's Best Racing. All right. The Derby points leaderboard is set. I would assume we'll start to get in the next few days if there are, you know, as you get down in the, you know, 17, 18, 19, if there are folks who are like, I'm undecided or not going. I think you'll hear about those. But it seems like things are kind of set at this point. As I say, King Fury at 28 seems a little unlikely. I think too much would have to happen. If you're sitting at 21, 22, 23, you may hope, keep your fingers crossed, but everybody wants to take a shot at the Derby, so we will see how it works out. Again, with the leaderboard set now, the conversation will become interesting, focusing on workouts in the morning and whatnot, and we are marching our way to a traditional first Saturday in May Kentucky Derby, which in and of itself is a little bit of a bonus. All right, I'm going to wrap it up for Sunday morning. Again, be back in, I think I said an hour and a half earlier. I meant 2 hours and a half, because I'm about 2 hours away now from OTB Live. As we are now in the daylight savings portion of the year, everybody's kind of shifted a little bit, so the action kicks off more in the 1 o'clock range now, which is nice. I walked out after the show yesterday, and it was still light out. Got in my car, and the little thermometer said 71 degrees. You can't ask for anything better than springtime in the Northeast when that's the way things work out. So it's been very nice in this area. We will hope things work out nicely at the venues we are watching this afternoon. Like yesterday, I'm going to look this afternoon a little Aqueduct, a little Keeneland, a little Oaklawn, but we'll have some other action here on the network as well. Should be a lot of fun on a Sunday afternoon. It's been fun on a Sunday morning. We always appreciate your tuning in to Racing Across America. I'm Seth Merrill. I will, as I say, be back in about a couple hours with OTB Live for a Sunday afternoon. Don't forget, today at the Clubhouse Racebook, double promotion. Get to take advantage of the Play the Board and the Match Bet. All of that right here at 711 Central Avenue in Albany. Love to see you join us here at the Clubhouse Racebook. Again, been fun. hopefully enjoyed it. Hopefully we gave out a couple of ideas for this afternoon that will play out. We'll try to do more of that when we come back in a couple hours for OTB Live. We'll see you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.